Thanks, Jess. I never get tired of watching that. It's a beautiful expression of dance creativity. It really does express the freedom of God, and for me, just that sense of the Spirit's flow just over us. Hey, another thing that I think represents the freedom of God is joy and humour. And, you know, you may not think my jokes are the best jokes in the world, but I know that you laugh. So if I can cause you to laugh a little bit, then that's awesome. So I have two jokes for you this week. The first may be from another member of my family who will go unnamed. And it was, why did the whale cross the sea? Because he wanted to get to the other tide. You know, the other thing, other little joke I had this week is, do you know that ants don't get sick? You know the reason why ants don't get sick? The reason ants don't get sick is because they've got little antibodies. I thought that was funny anyway. Hey, I just wanted this morning, just as we come to then look at Nehemiah, want to talk about that chapter 3 today. And so as we come, I just want to pray over us, just that we would just tune in to what the Lord has to say to us. So let's pray together. Jesus, just thank you for your word. Thank you that it is word that breathes life, that it is for every area of life, that it it has things, nutrients, it has the things we need, it has things that are promises over us, it has stories and things that are applicable to every day, not just when it was written. So thank you for your word. Thank you for your rhema word as well, that life-giving word that flows in complements and comes together with the written word. So this morning as we gather around your word, Father, help us to understand more about your written word and breathe over us your rhema words. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to respond this morning to what you may be saying to us. Lead us in our thinking, we ask. Lead us in our encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been looking at Nehemiah and we're up to chapter 3 today. I just want a quick review of that just in case you have missed that, or just to remind us about what's happening. Remember the story, Nehemiah got news of the devastation of Jerusalem after the Israelites had been in exile in Babylon, and they came out. And Nehemiah got word that the city walls had been ruined, knocked down, and the city gates had been burned, and the place was in devastation. And so Nehemiah went to prayer. He went to fasting at the right time and the right place. He got an audience with the king and queen, and he told them about his predicament, and he asked for permission to go and to rebuild the walls, and permission was granted. And so he arrives, and then under the cover of darkness, he takes just a couple of others with him, and he rides through the city at night and looks at all the different places of the city and gets an idea of what's actually happening in the city and comes up with his plan. And then at the right time again, he shares his plans. He seeks favour. He shares a testimony about what God has done. Agreement is reached. And in the midst of all that, there's some opposition that's faced. But I love what Nehemiah does in the face of opposition and moving towards his plans. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20, he says this. He says, I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We are his servants. We will start building this wall, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. And so God will help us succeed, Nehemiah says. He says, we will start rebuilding the wall. He doesn't go on the back foot, he goes on the front foot. He says, opposition will not stop us. Nehemiah didn't go back and forward when opposition came. He didn't wait for others' approval. He didn't then go and seek the approval of others again and say, well, what do you think? This is what's happening. Should we do this? Should we do that? He didn't give that as an option. He knew what God had spoken to him about, and he knew what he needed to do, and he took his steps in the front foot and moving forward, and he said, we will succeed. God will help us succeed, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild the wall, and even though there's opposition, we're not going to stand for it. And so when God places a plan on our heart, it's not time to become complacent or apathetic. It's not time to wait for someone else to do it. It's not time to revisit it, to go and revisit again because we're worried about what people think or whether there's a bit of opposition out there and to see if they're okay with our plan or whether it offends anybody or not. It's actually when God places a plan on our heart, it's time for action. At the right time, it's time to go forward with that plan and act on it. Once we've decided to rebuild the walls, it's time for action. It's time actually to rebuild. And so this morning's sermon title is, what do you do when you need to rebuild the walls? What do you do when you need to rebuild your walls? And the first thing, we're looking at chapter 3 today, and the first thing I want to suggest to you is this. When you need to rebuild the walls, the first thing you do is lead by example. In Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1, it says then, Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild at the sheep gate. Notice there, Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild. It says then, which indicates looking back at chapter 2 and then also looking forward to the next steps, Eliashib was the first high priest after the return of the people of Israel from Babylon. And so Eliashib and the other priests, they started to rebuild the walls. In other words, they led by example. Leaders lead so others can follow their example. Leaders start the momentum needed to get the ball rolling towards rebuilding the walls. And I want to suggest to you, though, that everyone, every one of us is a leader. To lead others, we must first lead ourselves. And every one of us is actually in the process of leading ourselves. You may not realize that, but you are. You are a leader of yourself. And then hopefully you are a leader of others. The sheep gate, just for to note, was close to the temple. It's got its name from the sheep market, or was actually close to the pool of Bethesda, or some versions talk about it as the pool of Bethsaida. The sheep were washed there ready for sacrifice then in the temple. But if you think about that pool, and I'll just call it the pool of Bethsaida, if you read in John chapter 5, you'll read about where Jesus healed a lame man there. It says that one of those men had been sick for 38 years. And then the water would bubble, they would jump in the water, and if they got in the water quick enough, that people were healed for some reason. You know, even by being there in close to that pool, those people were leading themselves. They were placing themselves in a position where they could be healed. And the fact that those men were there when Jesus came meant that they had already led themselves to a place where they could be healed and where they could find the momentum they needed for the next step in their life. So if you are in the process of rebuilding your walls, we need to start to lead. First, lead yourself. Kickstart your own momentum towards the direction that God is calling you into. And so maybe you might want to think about some of these questions in terms of leading yourself. Where can you place yourself? Where can you place yourself to put yourself in proximity to see the dreams that God's placed on your heart come to fruition? What steps can you take to get the ball rolling? And that may even just be small baby steps. It may be just saying, hey, I need help, or I have a dream, or this is what I feel God is placing on my heart, or whatever. But what steps can you take to start moving towards that? Who else can you follow that you may think has some things that would be helpful for your journey or your rebuilding the walls? Who else can you Google or look at to see how they rebuilt their walls? Who else, what other testimonies can you read? What other people can, books can you read, or things can you watch or follow to glean and to learn so you can start your own momentum forward? And who can you surround yourself with to follow? Who are those other few men like Nehemiah had that you can trust and gather around you that will support you, encourage you, and help you lead and take those steps forward towards the things that God has placed on your heart? So when you need to rebuild your walls, the first thing to do is lead by example. The second thing I think to do when you need to rebuild your walls, and what Nehemiah did, was to engage in the rhythm of dedication. To engage in the rhythm of dedication. That might seem a strange thing. But if you have a look at Nehemiah chapter 3 in the second part of verse 1, it says they dedicated it, that's the sheep gate, and they set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. You see, they did that with every significant gate. If you read through chapter 3, time and time again, they dedicated the walls, they dedicated the gates, they dedicated the beams and all of that. And the sheep gate was probably a common entrance into the temple, and it was the first part of the building that was repaired. Now, when you think about what's the significance of dedication? Well, maybe it's helpful to think about when we do baby dedications and what we do at those and what's significant about those. We give thanks to God for the gift of that child. We pray a blessing over that child. We consecrate the child to God's future purpose, and we pray for the parents and the family. Now think about that for the context of the people of Israel in Nehemiah's day. They took time to give thanks. They took time to seek God's blessing over the building and the restoring of the walls. It wasn't just about the building and the walls and the gates. It was actually about the significance of them being restored as the people of Israel and God's intentional purpose for them and the dreams he had for them as a people and for subsequent generations that we are the recipients of today. They took time to consecrate the wall and building to the purposes of God and to pray for each family. Now, I'm reminded as I read that about King David's words in Psalm 100 and verse 4, where it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name." David captures the essence of what the Israelites were doing in the process of dedicating the gates and building the walls. A commentator, Poole, says, "It was the first fruits, and therefore in the sanctification of it, the whole lump and building was sanctified." So as we rebuild our walls, it's crucial we build into our life the rhythm and the practice of dedication. Simple dedications, I was thinking about this week. Sometimes I feel we've lost the art of giving thanks over grace. I know sometimes in our family it's just a quick thank you, Jesus, and get into it. And I've been thinking about that this week, about the opportunity we have every time we sit down for a meal to actually dedicate that, but the bigger picture is dedicate our family and God's purposes afresh to what we're actually doing and take time to pause. And Thanksgiving shouldn't just be one day in November. It should be every day where we just dedicate and reflect and give thanks and declare blessing, not just on the food, but over our families, over our lives, over the purposes of God into our lives. Maybe it would be good to practice the rhythm of dedication at the start or the end of each day where we just take time to give thanks. Because thanksgiving replaces and discards negativity. And so if you imagine getting rid of negativity at the end of the day by just giving thanks for the day and the things that God has done, or starting the day with thanksgiving so we again discard negativity and we start that regular rhythm of dedication and going into that. I've been thinking this year that this so far for me has been an awesome year. So many good things have taken place this year, even despite fires and floods and a pandemic. There's still so many things that I've been thankful for that God has been doing in the midst of this year, and I'm still declaring this is going to be my best year yet. The rhythm of dedication, it's so important. But what about taking time to dedicate afresh our families, thanking God for them and the blessing they are? Or dedicating our homes, even symbolically, just, you know, dedicating the houses that we live in, whether we own them or we rent them. Dedicating our cars, dedicating our possessions, dedicating the land that we live in, dedicating buildings or gateways, doorways and entrances. What about dedicating our local schools or community centres and buildings and shopping centres and businesses, or our local parks or workplaces or whatever? What about us taking the time to walk around those and dedicate them in the name of Jesus? I dedicate this local community centre to Jesus. I dedicate this local school to Jesus. I declare that this local school belongs to Jesus. I declare that the land that this school is standing on belongs to Jesus, or this house or this park or wherever we go, we have the opportunity to enter into the regular rhythm of dedication, to bless the gates and the walls that surround us, the gates and doors that we walk through and open. Every day we have the opportunity to walk through the gates with thanksgiving and praise and take time to dedicate, to bless and consecrate those things to God. I know for my family, I often do that, and I know that we bear the effect of that and the fruit of that. It makes a huge difference. And the last thing I want to share with us this morning, and probably, you know, one of the key things about the story is, what do we do when we need to rebuild our walls? We start building where we live. In Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "People from the town of Jericho worked next to them, and beyond them was Zaccur, son of Imri." You see, the process of rebuilding the walls was something that everyone was actively involved in. Everyone was prepared to work their trade. Rebuilding, in a sense, is everyone's trade. It's not the people down the road. This is somewhere where we don't hire in a trade. We actually use our trade. The rest of chapter 3 is just a summary of the people who rebuilt the wall, and it goes in a circular direction if you read it around the city, starting at the northeastern corner. For example, in verse 3, it reads about the fish gate was built by the sons of Hassanah. And it's interesting, all the names of the different gates. That's where they sold fish from the Sea of Galilee. Verse 6, the old city gate was repaired. Joada, son of Paseh, and Meshelem, son of Besodiah. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. The other thing about building the gate and what we read from chapter 3 was that everyone was involved. In verses 3 to 4, you'll see sons and grandsons involved. In verse 12, you'll see daughters and fathers involved. In verse 26, you'll see temple servants involved. And they were considered the common people of the day, but they worked alongside priests. Everyone was involved in the community. And you know, the thing about that was families worked on a section of the wall in proximity to where they lived. You can see that in verse 28 of chapter 3. Above the horse gate, the priests repaired the wall. Each one repaired the section immediately across from his own house. You know, as we rebuild our walls, as we rebuild the walls that God has for us to build, our greatest influence will be closest to home. Our greatest influence will be where we live. One of the mantras of COVID-19 has been, "We're all in this together." This was a mantra I'm sure the people of Israel probably used as they rebuilt their walls. We're all in this together. And that mantra could easily be applied if we rebuild our walls and pursue God's kingdom as a disciple of Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 that we are actually co-heirs with Christ. And I want to suggest to you that in this season, as much as any season, we have the opportunity to step out and stop being consumers and start being contributors. But I want to suggest to you that's not where it ends. We actually need to move from being consumers to being contributors to actually recognising our inheritance of being co-heirs. When you are a co-heir, you will think completely different about the building of the walls than just contributing to something, laying a brick here or laying a brick there. Or you won't even think about consuming because you're a co-heir. That's what Jesus calls us, co-heirs. And so the walls that we're rebuilding and the gates that we're putting back in place, we do that as co-heirs, not just as contributors. We're not just making a contribution to something. We're not just throwing money at something or just quickly doing something here, an hour here or an hour there. We're actually building something that lasts a lifetime. That's the kingdom of God. There are no spectators in the kingdom of God. And we're given ownership and responsibility for our rebuilding both individually and as part of the church. The Apostle Paul talks about that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, we're all part of Christ's body, his bride, the church. In verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. We've each been given at least one spiritual gift. Most of us have been given more than that. But the purpose of that spiritual gift is to help each other. You have different gifts to what I have. Your gifts are to help others. My gifts are to help others. Together we help others through the gifts, using of the gifts that God has given to each one of us. Verse 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the one whole body, and so it is with the body of Christ. And then in verse 27 of chapter 12, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We are all part of the body of Christ. We've each been given special gifts to help build the dreams that God has given to us, and each one of us is a valuable part, a unique part that no one else can replace. So what do you do when you rebuild the walls? You take time to lead by example. You take time to engage in the rhythm of dedication. And you work your trade and start building where you live. I was just thinking about chapter 3 this week, and I want to kind of finish with this, reading Nehemiah chapter 3. And what if we replaced Nehemiah chapter 3 with families and people from Grace Point that we knew? And my apologies if I've forgotten someone or left someone out. I've tried my best to include everyone in what I'm about to read. But if I did miss you, then I'm sorry. But what if we took chapter 3 and it read something like this? The Malabar Gate was restored by Brad, Helen and the Feeney family. The Matraville Gate was restored by Gloria, Carlos, Carmen, along with the Ackland, Perkin, Googly, Hay, Cohen and Malam families. The Coogee and Ramwick Gates were restored by Claire, Ming, Samira, along with the Ashcroft, Dinkelman and Ho families. The East Lakes Gate was restored by Lorraine, Vicky and Honey. The Botany Gate was restored by Anna, Kelly, June, Tracy, Ruth, Jess, Linnell, Andy, Moira, Josh, Tony and the Shuja, Lang, Gill, Van Kalenberg, Lisson, Palais and Chesi families. The City Gates were restored by Sarah, Joe, Rebecca, John, Joe, Kevin, Tracy, Jonathan, the Harts, along with Fiona and Titus. The Marrickville Gates were restored by Harry and Maria. The Mascot Gates were restored by Lisa, Michael, Carolina, Tommy, Amelia, Esteban, their boys and the Andre family. The Pagewood Gates were restored by the Babbage family. The Kingsford Gates were restored by Christine, Siri and the Chung, Kanawati, Howson and Ning families. The Little Bay, Chifley and La Perouse Gates were restored by Kimberly, John, Jeffrey, along with the Socklers, the Morell, Hankey, Chang, Lawyer and Pratt families. The Maroubra Gates were restored by Beryl, Belinda, Gillian, Marcel, Brian, Wendy, the Morrises, the Epp and the Martin families. The Bondi and Vaucluse Gates were restored by Roz, Daniel, Rudy and Kay. And the Western and Southern Gates were restored by Alison, Kylie, Ray, Graham, Lynette, Josh, Sarah and the Potestati, Stubbings and Wilson families. Wow. The kingdom of God is built on family. And our society wants us to think individualistic and independent. The kingdom of God wants us to think unity, oneness, family, one another, together, interdependent. A family connected naturally, locally, regionally, and globally. We are all in the kingdom together. We are all valuable. We all carry a spiritual gift to help others. So no matter what your trade, what your spiritual gift, the kingdom of God, God's family, has a place for you and needs you. It's a hands-on experience where everyone is involved. I want to pray for us this morning just that we would rise up, that we would just see the level of confidence that God has placed on us, the trust he gives to us with the gifts that he's released into us, and the opportunity we have to catch a vision for our local area and the so-called walls and gates that need to be restored in that. So will you pray with me?